I really do feel very much at home here. I love being with you guys. And obviously some of you I know quite well and some of you only a little bit. And I just want to say I'm really, really happy to be here with you today. What I'm wanting to talk about this morning is looking at the early life of Gideon. So if you have Bibles with you and you want to turn to Judges 6, that would be fantastic. But what I'm wanting to look at is the release of his prophetic identity and his prophetic calling and the journey that he went on to come into his prophetic identity and his prophetic calling. Now, already you might be saying, I have no idea what a prophetic identity and a prophetic calling is. But in a sense, it is the prophetic identity was how did God see him? Not necessarily how did he see himself. So coming into our prophetic identity is becoming the person that God sees that we are, getting God's perspective on ourselves. And the same, our prophetic calling is coming into the influence, the fulfilling the life of passing on from our identity, our calling into the world. And whilst we're looking at the early life of Gideon, there's just several little areas I want us to look out for as we look at this story. One is the release of the prophetic to Gideon and something of the journey to the fulfilment of that word. But I also want us to look at the presence of the Lord with him and also Gideon's fear and what God's response to Gideon's fear is. And I'm going to look at just almost like four little pictures that we get in those early chapters of Gideon. And we're just going to look out for those pointers of what the Lord is wanting to reveal to us through that. So, first of all, a little bit of background to this story. The book of Judges is the children of Israel are in the Promised Land. And they have this kind of pattern that they've developed over the years, where they are following the Lord really closely and really well, and then somehow it sort of tails off and they go into a bit of a dip where they worship idols and things go badly wrong and they fall away from the Lord. And the Lord sends a prophet or a judge, not in a judge in a judgmental sense, but somebody who brings the word of God and they're restored back to God. And then they seem to go well for a while and then fall away again. So they have this kind of cycle going on, which I think goes on about seven times in the book of Judges. And the coming of Gideon was one of those points where Israel was at a low ebb in their walk with the Lord. And then God just sent his prophet, his word, and brought them back up to that place of relationship with him. Another little bit of background is that the Midianites, they were the enemy of Israel at that time, and they were actually nomads in the desert, and they used to do these long distance raids on camels. And I always think, I mean, that sounds like a fantastic adventure movie, can't you? You can imagine all the Midianites and they're on their camels and they came rushing in, and they joined up with a group called the Amalekites, and for 7 years they were persecuting Israel. And the way they did it was Israel planted their crops to grow, and as soon as the crops were coming up, in came the enemy on their camels, racing in, and they would actually take all the crops, and they would devastate the land like locusts swarming through the land. So there was actually no food left for the Israelites. And in a sense, it was what should have been their inheritance. And I know you hear a lot about spiritual inheritance here because of what Di carries. What should have been their inheritance in the land to feed them and make them strong and healthy was being robbed away from them. And they were losing that inheritance. Now, that is the background. And if we start off in verse 11, excuse me while I put my specs on. And I'm just going to read out this little bit. This is where we're introduced to Gideon. It says, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abizrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. So here we have this young man, Gideon, and he's hiding, basically, in the winepress, threshing wheat. And of course, our background is that the enemy wants to come and take their food from them. So that is why he is being so protective over this little bit of food that he's threshing, the wheat that he's threshing, and has to do it in the winepress, which wouldn't be the normal place, but he's doing that out of fear of the enemy coming and taking that food. And actually, it's the words that are used are almost like using a hand tool for threshing. So we're not talking about big combine harvesters and huge storehouses of food. We're actually talking about this, the food for the family, the food that was his to for him to enjoy. And the angel of the Lord, who is this bringer of the prophetic message from God, arrives on the scene to this frightened man trying to protect his little bit of food. And what did the angel say to him? He said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And this is the first part of this, what I call the prophetic identity that was spoken into Gideon. The first part of it, "The Lord is with you." Do you remember I said we're looking out for the presence of the Lord? And that was the first thing that was said to Gideon, is that the Lord is with you. And then he says, you mighty warrior, or you valiant warrior. Now, was Gideon looking like a valiant warrior at that time? I don't think so, because he was hiding away in that wine press, fearful. Did he feel like a mighty warrior at that time? I don't think so. He didn't, but that was God's image of him. That was his true identity, and that was how God saw him. So how did Gideon reply to this angel of the Lord and his great pronouncement? Verse 13 says, "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian." So Gideon's response to the angel was like, if you're with me, then look, you know, how can that possibly be true? I think you've abandoned us, God. He felt that as he looked at the circumstances around him, that God had left him, that God had abandoned him. And that was his reply to the angel. But the Lord was saying, "I am with you." And the Lord then replied to this. So he was having a bit of an argument, really, with the angel. And the Lord turned to him in verse 14 and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hands. Am I not sending you?" So again, we have, "Am I not sending you?" That is the presence of the Lord. Again, is saying, "I am with you." He's saying, "Go in the strength that you have." That is his identity, that he is a man who has strength. God is saying, "You have strength. You have strength. And what I'm calling you is to save Israel out of Midian's hands." In other words, God was saying to him, "You have what it takes. You have what it takes." And maybe that's something the Lord needs to just speak into some hearts here today, that says, actually, when I look around me, I wonder, where are you, God? What has happened to me? Why am I like this? And the Lord is saying, "You're a mighty warrior. You have strength. You have what it takes. And there is still a prophetic call on your life. You haven't lost that. It is only just beginning." Gideon had a response to this in verse 15, which says, "But Lord, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." So basically, Gideon is saying, "Who? Me? Who? Me? You must be talking to somebody else behind me. That's not how I see myself." And that is his response to the call of the Lord on him, because he was looking at his own identity through his own eyes and not through what God was saying to him. Now, God just spoke again a reassurance of his presence and his destiny. He said, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together." So God is saying again, this is who you are. You are going to fulfill your calling. Now, some people think Gideon was a bit spineless. You know, was he a bit kind of, you know, shaking away there in fear? I don't think he was spineless. First of all, he had the guts to argue with an angel. I don't know if any of you have the guts to argue with an angel, but basically if an angel appeared before me, I don't think I'd be sort of having the guts to do that. I'd probably be on a... Well, I wouldn't now. I'd actually want to have a chat with him. But previously, I would be on a bit of a runner with that. But Gideon stood up to him and actually was able to express his own fear and his own situation. And that is so good, isn't it, that we don't have to run away from the Lord, but we can actually answer him. And we can ask him those questions, why has this happened? What is going on for me? I don't feel like this. We can be absolutely honest with the Lord about where we're at. But this is the exciting thing, is that Gideon then responded to this. Even though he was saying, who me? He then responded with a step of faith. And this is the whole point of this story that I think is so wonderful, is that Gideon keeps on taking just these little steps of faith. And the Lord is just so thrilled with that. So the first step of faith is saying to the Lord, if it's really you, give me a sign. If now I have found favour in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you. And the Lord said, I will wait until you return. Now, isn't that so amazingly gracious of the Lord? You know, that actually Gideon is saying, I don't know whether it's you or not talking to me. I need to have a sign. And the Lord's saying, I'll wait. I will wait for you to return. You do what you have to do. And you know what Gideon was going to do? He was going to go and take a young goat, an ephah of flour, and he made bread. He put the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot. He brought them out and he offered them to him under the oak. The angel of the Lord said to him, take the meat and the bread, place them on this rock and pour out the broth. And Gideon did so. And then there was this dramatic moment where the supernatural power of God spell and sparks flew and fire came out of the rock. But when we think of the context of this, remember we said that Gideon was trying to protect his food. And that was where the enemy was coming in to steal food. And yet, what was Gideon's step of faith? It was actually to take what food they had and lay it out before the Lord. I mean, in that context, that was a huge step of faith, wasn't it? To lay that out before the Lord. And so sometimes there is this was this moment of worship. This was the moment of worship. When Gideon said, I'm not sure that you are who you are, but I am actually going to respond with this step of faith towards you. Am I echoing or something? Is there a problem with the sound? What would you like to do? Abandon the microphone? Turn me up, turn me down?
I have got a very loud evangelist voice, so I can actually do it without.
Shall I stick with it? Is that better? If not, I'll abandon it and just talk. My father was a Methodist local preacher, and before the days of microphones and things, he had me standing in pulpits and he taught me how to project my voice right to the back of these big Methodist halls. So, shall I stick with it or not? Yeah, it's fine now. That's good. So, anyway, we have this amazing moment where Gideon takes that step of faith of deciding to worship and give of his best to the Lord. But interestingly, after that, verse 21 says, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. The angel of the Lord disappeared. And yet the very next verse says, when Gideon realized that it was an angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, Our sovereign Lord, I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face. But the Lord said to him, Peace, do not be afraid, you are not going to die. And I just thought that was fascinating. The angel of the Lord had disappeared, and yet there was still a conversation going on between Gideon and the Lord. Gideon's prayers were still being heard, and he was still being answered by the Lord, even though the manifest visual presence of the angel had actually disappeared. And you know, sometimes when we look back at our lives, we can see ways in which God has been really real to us, where there's been his presence has been really strong. Or we look back and we remember what it was like, and we can go, but the angel of the Lord has disappeared. That has gone. I'm not experiencing that now in my life. And I just feel this is very wonderful, that the Lord is still hearing our prayers and he's still answering us, but in a different way. And that we don't need to hearken back to, oh, I just wish the presence of the angel of the Lord was with me, because actually the Lord has promised never to leave us, and that he's still with us, he's still hearing our prayers, he's still communicating with us. It's just in a different way now. So just if anyone is feeling, has the Lord abandoned me? No, of course not. He's just speaking to you in a different way in this season. And then it is just so amazing the way the Lord answered, because the way the Lord answered was to say, was to reveal himself to Gideon as God is peace. Do not be afraid. I am Jehovah Shalom, for those who understand that word shalom. God spoke really deeply into his fear at that time. And this is what I think is so wonderful about this passage, is that every time Gideon is fearful, the Lord speaks peace into his fear. He is not angry with Gideon for being fearful. He doesn't rebuke him from being fearful. He's not turned away and left him because he is fearful. But actually, he just comes and reveals himself as God who is peace. And I think this is one of this whole about our journeying into our prophetic calling, our prophetic identity, is that God not only gives us wisdom and direction and strategy for what we should be doing and how we live our life, but he actually speaks into our hearts on that journey. And he knows that our hearts may be fearful. And he knows that maybe we don't quite understand who we are. But he comes to us with his presence, and he gives us this revelation that he is peace. So not only has he got strategies for living and directions of what to do, but he can look after our hearts. He can look after our hearts in the process, which is wonderful, isn't it? I just love the fact that, Lord, you understand my heart, and you are for me, and you will take care of me from this point on of whatever is going on in my heart. Just a few more little pictures of what happened to Gideon. The Lord commanded Gideon to take two bulls, one from his father's house. And Gideon was obviously quite scared about this, whether it was the food issue again. He was removing a bull from his father's house. But he had to go and sacrifice them and tear down some idols that had been set up to Baal. And it actually says that Gideon was too frightened to do it during the day, so he went and did it in the night. And I just thought, that was great. He did it, didn't he? He took his next step of faith. He was obedient, but he was too scared during the day. But he did do it in the night. And the Lord didn't seem to mind this at all. He didn't say, you weren't obedient to me, or you were scared. Actually, the Lord honoured what he did. And then the Spirit of the Lord fell on Gideon. And the next thing we find from this frightened man hiding in the wine press, this frightened man who went and tore down these Asherah poles in the middle of the night, we then find him, verse 34 for those who are following it. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, summoning the Abizrites to follow him. He sent messengers throughout Manasseh, calling them to arms, so that they too went up to meet him. So here we've got this frightened man in the dark. Spirit of the Lord comes upon him, and he's sounding trumpets. Now, that is not what you do when you want to keep hidden and you're frightened. So he's starting to step up into being that mighty man of valour, that warrior. He's just he's beginning to take those actions to live out of the calling and the identity that God has given him. And he starts to gather an army around him. So he's looking much more like that mighty warrior, isn't it? Ready to go into battle. But what happens straight away? Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand as you have promised, look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor." And he puts this test before God, because he's saying, actually, is it really you? Are you really with me? I'm really not absolutely certain. I need to hear from you again, God. So even in the midst of stepping up into his calling, his heart was still fearful and still needed reassurance. And he went to the Lord, and you can read it for yourself. He sets a test about a fleece, and if it's wet in the morning and the ground is dry, then the Lord is, you know, that's right, he's with him. And that is what the Lord does. He answers that, and the fleece is wet and the ground is dry. So you would think, okay, get on with the job, Gideon. But no, Gideon wants another reassurance. He says, nah, that's good, but it could have just been, you know, whatever. I want to have another fleece laid out. So yet again, Gideon tests the Lord and he puts out another fleece. And this time he says the fleece has got to be dry and the ground wet. And what is the Lord's response? The Lord answers him. And I love this, because what it says is the Lord is so patient with us. He understands our heart. He understands what we need. And we just have to keep taking those steps of obedience. And the Lord is constantly bringing us words of encouragement and strength to keep going. And if we have fear, we bring it to the Lord and he answers that. We have another little bit of a story later on, chapter 7, verse 9, where God says to Gideon, just making the point again, he says, "During the night, the Lord said to Gideon, 'Get up, go down against the camp, because I'm going to give it into your hands.'" So there we go. That is God giving that prophetic calling, isn't it? Right, you're ready. Go get it. Second half of that sentence, it says, verse 10, "If you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah and listen to what they are saying. Afterwards, you will be encouraged to attack the camp." So the Lord's saying, you ready? Go get it. Go get on with it. But if you are afraid, you can go down to the camp with your servant and listen in to what they're saying, and that will encourage you. So isn't that again wonderful of the Lord? That he recognised the fear and he brought his encouragement. And they went to the camp and they overheard a dream that somebody had had, which basically said, we're scared stiff of Gideon because he's amazing and we're all going to do a runner when he comes. And so that was a great word. That was a prophetic encouragement word for Gideon that said, you're okay, mate. You know, they are scared stiff of you. They're more scared of you than you are of them. You can do this. And of course, Gideon came into the fullness of what it was. He went back and he said, when Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he worshipped God. He returned to the camp of Israel and he called out, "Get up! The Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands." And he said, verse 17, "Watch me," he told them, "follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do." Now, can you see the journey that Gideon has come on? From being frightened and hiding away in the wine press, trying to protect his own little stuff for himself. And he has taken step by step by step of obedience. But at each stage, the Lord has given him strategy to defeat the enemy. But at the same time, the Lord has given him encouragement in his heart. And whenever there's been fear, the Lord has come in with yet another word of encouragement. Because he is the God of all encouragement. God can't help encouraging us. It's part of who he is. It is part of his nature. And really what I'm just wanting to share with us today is this, that you matter more than you think. I think I've spoken that over slide before now. You matter more than you think. God has placed a specific prophetic identity into each person here. He sees you and he knows you. Now, we all have this identity that we're all sons of God, we're all beloved by him, we're all called to be victorious. But there is a specific identity on you. And our reaction might be, who? Me? Who? Me? I'm the youngest in my father's house. What is there about me? There's nothing much going on with me. Or, I just feel I've been abandoned by you, God. How can this be true? And today I just want to say again that the Lord sees you. The Lord sees each one of us. And he sees us as valiant and mighty warriors with a specific identity and calling. We all carry a part of that image of God uniquely. And say, well, what does that mean in me? What are the passions God has put in me? What are the hopes? What are the dreams? What are the areas where I want to influence? Who am I? Who am I? And the Lord just wants to come again and again and again with his encouragement and his reassurance about who we are. And as we go step by step, we will find ourselves in a different place. Would Gideon have thought at the beginning when he was in the wine press and he first heard that word, that one day he'd be standing up and he'd say, follow me everybody, we're going on in there, in full of confidence and authority? He probably didn't feel that at the beginning, but that was the journey that God has taken him on, and that is the journey that the Lord is taking us on as well, increasingly into fulfilling that calling. But I'd also say that God has a prophetic identity for each congregation, each grouping and community of people. And I would say that you here, you're not the whole picture for Slough, because there's all those other wonderful congregations that the Lord has raised up. Each has its own prophetic identity. Each part of the body of Christ, each congregation brings something to the picture to release Slough into how God wants Slough to become. And there is a prophetic identity on this Slough congregation. What is it? There is something that God has put on this congregation to do that no one else can do. And you could say, well, it doesn't look like it so far, as Gideon did at first, or who? Us? This little group of people? How can we do that? And yet I'd really encourage you to face your fears, start taking those steps towards what the Lord has called you to, and you're doing it already. You are doing it already. But just to let you know, the Lord is with you, and the Lord's encouragement will be poured out on you every step of the way. And that not only will the Lord give you strategies of how to get the victory, but he will also care for your hearts as you take that journey. So he is going to reveal himself more and more as Jehovah Shalom, peace upon you. Not only do you have a prophetic identity as a congregation, but I believe Slough has a prophetic identity to the nation. So what is God calling Slough to be in this nation? What would Slough look like if they came into all of what was in God's heart for Slough? And what can Slough give to the whole of our nation that can only be expressed through this community called Slough? They're kind of questions, it's kind of a little bit nebulous to know what the answers are, but they're good questions, aren't they, to bring to the Lord and say, what is it that we are wanting Slough to become that can serve into the nation? And I also believe that the Lord has a prophetic identity on our nation as well. What does our nation give to the world? Who is it? Who are we in the UK? And we've looked at a bit of that, haven't we, with all the Olympics and all the amazing things. We've sort of felt a bit more confident in who we are and what we're good at. and that we actually have something really positive to give to the world. So we don't need to be down on ourselves as a nation, but say, actually, Lord, what is it that you're calling us into in our identity and our calling as a nation that will influence the whole world? And here in Slough, you have an amazing ability to touch so many nations. So many nations, and it is part of your prophetic calling and identity here, is to influence nations. Just on a personal level, somebody gave me a book about 8 years ago, which was entitled Releasing the Prophetic Identity of a Nation. And when they gave it to me saying, I think this book is for you. And I looked at it and absolutely my heart sank, and I just thought, releasing the prophetic identity of a nation, of nations, you know, like, what is that about? I never opened the book. I put it on the bookshelf and I thought, I have no idea, A, what that means, and B, whether there is anything in me that can have anything to do with that. And over the years, I've kept going past that, and I've kept seeing, releasing the prophetic identity of nations. And yet, I have gone on a journey myself, a journey of discovering who God has made me to be, and a journey of increasing in my own calling and authority, or whatever, of knowing who I am. And I have to tell you that that actually has been a journey where there has been fear. I will be honest that I am, you know, every time the Lord has called me to step up or take steps of faith, whatever, it's not been without fear. But the Lord has been my peace and has brought me to this place. And, you know, the fact that I can actually stand and say, I believe there is something that God has said to me about the leaves of the trees are for healing of the nations, that he has put into me and my identity. And I don't know how that is going to look, how that is going to be expressed. Maybe it's through sending my husband Robin off to all kinds of places like Iraq and Afghanistan with the military. He's in the military. Part of it has been expressed in that way. But I don't quite know what that looks like. But I do know that I'm carrying something. And so I just want to declare that over you as well, that as a congregation, you have a prophetic identity to release the prophetic calling to other nations. And it is no mistake that God is adding and adding and adding to you people from different nations into your mix. And through what you rise up to here in response to what the Lord is saying to you is going to influence the nations of the world. And how exciting is that? And so what I most want to say to you is, if you're feeling like, I just want to hide and protect my own little bit of food that feeds me, to say, actually, the calling on you is so much bigger and so much greater, because God sees who you really are in his eyes, and you are mighty. Emotional moment. And God is calling you to defeat the Midianites, to release the harvest, release the inheritance, not just for you and your family to keep them safe, but for all these people around you, all these people in Slough, and through to other nations. God's going to release strategy, step by step. You don't have to do the big thing yet. Just do it step by step as the Lord leads. And just know this, that the Lord will be looking after your hearts. He will look after your fear by his presence as the God of peace.